Yeah, I promised I wasn't going to do any bad jokes for you this morning.
No, that was good. Okay, before I get started, let's pray together. Father God, I pray that just the words that come out of my mouth are just directly from the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would just guide me to just say what I had written down and to hold back what is not from the Holy Spirit or what maybe is not necessary to say today, Lord. But you will just guide me in every single word. You'll give me the confidence. You'll give me the security, Lord. And I pray that that the congregation will just be blessed by your words, the words that come out of your scripture, Lord, and the applications that we just see for them, Lord. I pray you'll just continue to guide me. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I give you everything. And let's do this. I pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so when I was asked to speak today, I had a bunch of different ideas in my head. And of course, when I went to prayer, I got through all those ideas out and said, I got something else in mind for you. It kind of stems, all right, from me kind of being a little guilty in my daily practices. Okay, I felt like I was slipping a little bit. And I just felt God was kind of trying to pull me back and put me in the right direction. So remind me of the story of Jonah. of Jonah. So when I was reading, all right, Jonah, I read it over. I read the whole chapter, or the whole four chapters, and it really spoke to me. So I want to read chapter one today with you guys, and hopefully we get some meaning out of it. So, Jonah chapter one, starting in verse one. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you? And he said to them, I am Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is it that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord anointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So as we read the story of Jonah, there's a lot of different takeaways. I think it's a popular kid story. I'm not sure why, maybe to make them afraid of the going into the water or not. But I remember as a kid, I was reading this, and I just remember, you mean, that this powerful God that we have has control over the seas, has control over the skies, has control over the fish in the sea, that someone could even survive, all right, in the belly of a fish. All right, to me, made no sense. All right, but that just reinforce the powerful God that we serve here. Another lesson, all right, is it's the judgment of God. All right, God was going to judge Nineveh for its evil ways. The compassion of God is demonstrated here because God sends Jonah, all right, so that he doesn't have to do that. He's giving this city a warning. When I looked into this, I even found that Jonah was unusual because it's the only Old Testament book whose exclusive message is to a Gentile nation, showing that his judgment and grace are for all people. Today, I want to focus on Jonah's response to God's calling, because I think there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. So I'm hoping we can just maybe relate to it, and hopefully we don't have to relate to it. And all right, you're not fleeing from Nineveh and you're going right towards it. But if not, and you're like me and you tend to slip sometimes, I feel that this might be something we need to hear today. So in verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come upon you.'" Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians, enemies of the Israelites. Jonah didn't like the Assyrians. He didn't like Nineveh. He hated them. He didn't believe they were worthy of being saved. He didn't want to be the one to go to save them. But God told him to do just that, go to Nineveh. I don't know about you, but the cool stories in the Bible are because these people are just like us. All right, Jonah didn't say, you know what? I got this. I'm going to break down the walls. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to bust out. I'm going to say, you know what? All right, you guys are being wrong. I know you don't believe in this God, all right, but he's telling you that you guys are wrong. All right, repent right away or else he's going to strike you down. They would probably, laughed at him. What God asked Jonah to do was something very difficult. If I felt that calling to me, I would probably think, God, how about I just pray for the Ninevites? I'll pray hard. I'll pray every day. Me and Jobin will fast over it. All right, we got these guys. But I don't know if I would. All right, I think I'd probably be a lot like Jonah right here and say, "Is this really what you want me to do, Lord?" But I think it was pretty clear to him that that's what God had him do. The advantage he had was this was a very clear message. And it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." It might have been a clear message, but it wasn't an easy message. Sometimes we want that clear message. We're like, God, speak to me. If this is what you want me to do, just let me know, and I'll do it. All right, and I don't know if we always actually want that, though. Because sometimes I think we probably, if we heard that message, we'd be like, there's some static right there, Lord. I don't think the old phone trick that I don't know works anymore, but we still try it. But no, that's not what God had for Jonah. He says, all right, go, all right, do this, all right, very difficult, all right, thing. And that's what I'm calling you to do. Today we're all called, all right, to do something. There are some very clear callings, all right, from the word. That each and every one of us have. I want to just briefly touch on some of those clear callings. First clear calling, in my opinion, is we are all called to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "First of all, then, I urge that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, of the Savior, who desires all people be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Okay, if you're listening to this today, if you're listening online or you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that is your first calling. Jonah knew, God. He didn't know, Christ, necessarily. All right, he came before Christ came down to earth, but he knew the one true God, and he worshipped that one true God. He followed. He was in Israel. He followed him, as best he, I guess he thought he could have. Your first calling, each and every one of us, is to accept that invitation, that Jesus has given us. Through the sacrifice of his blood, and to follow Christ. Your next calling, is to grow. How do we grow? We grow with daily nourishment. We grow with food and water. To me, the food and water okay, of our Christian growth is our prayer and the scripture. All right, Jonah very clearly heard the calling, all right, from God. All right, so he was in communication with God. And all right, I'm certain that Jonah knew, all right, the scriptures. He knew, all right, what was written down, all right, from God. If we read 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 again, it says, first of all, then I urge the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving made for all people. All right, he's urging us to pray, all right, daily. He's urging us to be nourished, all right, to have communication with, all right, him daily. Parents desire to hear from their kids. I know my mom loves when I call her. I have to put a reminder on my phone because I'm not so good at it. But, all right, she says, oh, you haven't called me in 2 weeks. And she wants to hear from me. My oldest is going away to college next year. He better call his mom. All right, I could probably, all right, not a couple weeks, I'll be okay. It's not going to be good. All right, he better call her up. God, all right, likewise, wants to hear from us daily. A weekly phone call to God's not enough. All right, that's not going to do it. Okay, there's too much, all right, godly wisdom, all right, the parently wisdom, all right, they might take or pass, the godly wisdom you need every single day for nourishment. The second nourishment we have is being in the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17 read, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How can we know our other callings if we don't know, all right, the scriptures? How can we know, all right, God, are you calling me to do this? Do you want me to, all right, to go in this direction? Want me to go in this direction? All right, if we're not, all right, familiar, all right, with what he's given us, the written form of what he's given us, are through the Bible. Our daily nourishment, okay, is, all right, reading the scripture, all right, and praying. Okay, what does that daily nourishment do? It equips us for every good work. Okay, the third common calling I think each one of us have is to love each other. In 2 John 1, verses 5 through 6, it says, and now I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Jonah was in communication with God. God told him to go to Nineveh. He told him, all right, to go to his enemy and tell them that he wasn't happy with how they were living. All right, he knew the scriptures. He read them, all right, growing up. That was part of the life they had back then. I wish we had that life where we read the scriptures as much as they did. And where I think he failed was he failed in this love category. He didn't love the Assyrians. He thought that they were not our God's chosen people. He thought that they were, all right, different. God didn't, all right, he didn't have to go and say to them, if we're praying, if we're reading the scriptures, it should be, all right, that daily nourishment, all right, should show the growth. That growth should be shown for our love, our, by our love towards others. So, if we move on to my second point, I want to focus on verse 3 where it says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. If we read carefully, Jonah did not simply try to flee from the responsibility of going to Nineveh. All right, he didn't say, oh, you know what, I'll go to Nineveh. Let me just take a quick stop first. He wasn't taking a detour. He was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. Is actually what prompted my message. I think I unknowingly try and flee from the presence of the Lord. I'm like a little kid, okay, who says, all right, well, if I cover my face and you can't see me and I can just hide right here in plain sight. And it's cute, all right, when they do it with little kids, but if we're still doing it as adults, all right, you kind of look a little bit foolish right there. And unfortunately, I think I sometimes look foolish. I'm hiding my face and I'm saying, God, I'm tired this morning. Yeah. I'll pray, but I'll get a quick minute prayer in. Just pray for the day. Just keep everybody safe. Let's get out of here. Let's go. That's me fleeing from the presence of the Lord. That's me saying, you know, God, I'll give you a little bit, but I'm mostly going to cover my face up. I think for myself, all right, I'll let life get in the way. Hide some other things, all right, hide amongst other things right there. And I'll go on a spiritual weight loss, all right, diet. And I'm not a huge fan of diets, okay? So I certainly don't want a food diet. I don't want a spiritual, all right, diet as well, okay? But I, all right, hide from the presence of the Lord, and I trick myself into thinking that, all right, you know, if I did my daily reading today. I zoomed through it. I didn't reflect on it. I didn't study. I went through it. All right, and that's enough for God. All right, that'll be enough just to keep me, in the shadows so I can hide from him. But that's not what he's asking us to do. He doesn't want the leftovers, okay? He wants everything from us. We just talked about it. He wants all of us. He wants us to be more like Jesus. Jonah fell victim to the same lie we tell ourselves from time to time, that we can hide from God. Jeremiah 23:24 talks about this when it says, "Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord." I think we, forget, all right, this verse right here. We forget that we can't hide from him. Our everyday pleasures, I know, sports and hobbies and television and games are often ways that we think that we can hide, all right, from God. We think if I just submerge myself into this, okay, God, all right, won't see me, or at least I won't think he's seeing me because I'm not looking towards him. It's a scary trap because, all right, just like that ship to Tarshish, once you're on, you're not going to tell them, all right, let's turn the boat around. I'm just a passenger here. Okay, we get so involved into it. The ship, all right, gets some steam. It goes full steam ahead. All right, and we kind of just, all right, forget about God. All right, we've tried to hide from him. We think we've hidden from him, all right, but we realize that we can't hide from him. All right, and then that boat, all right, is not leading us in the right direction. Okay, but it's a cruise. All right, I think of like a luxury cruise ship. Okay, it can feel good. You know, I love going on cruises. It's fun. Everything's done for you. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can just do whatever you want. Okay, so it can kind of feel like that sometimes. If we look in verse 4 and 5, it says, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep." You can get a lot of rest, all right, on a cruise. All right, you might think you're getting rest when, all right, you hide yourself from God and maybe ignore some of the callings he has for you. I found Christ at a young age, okay, but I'm up here, being completely honest and admitting, all right, if you would have seen me during my college years, okay, I was on a cruise ship, all right, there was, all right, lots of our beverages flowing, and I was enjoying myself, and I was just ignoring God completely. I thought I was in a good place. I thought, you know what, this is fun. Everything's going great. Okay, I might have been down in the hull sleeping. Okay, but really, the seas were raging around me. The ship was breaking up. I didn't even know it because I was fast asleep. If you're listening to this message today and you're saying to yourself, I don't need to make any changes in my spiritual life. All right, I'm good. I come to church on Sundays. All right, I pray a couple of minutes each morning. I follow with the daily thing right there. What I'm saying is, God is calling you to do more. His calling might be difficult. It might be go to Nineveh, go to your enemies. It might be, all right, go forgive someone who you are having a hard time forgiving. And if you decide to, you mean, ignore that and try and hide from God and go on that cruise ship, okay, it might seem good in the moment, all right, but, all right, when you wake up and you see, all right, that the waves are roaring around you, okay, you're going to come to that moment, you're going to be like, all right, now what? What now? All right, what did the men do, all right, when they woke him up and noticed the waves around them? Verse 13, it writes, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. You're on that ship. You're going in a direction maybe you don't want to be in. All right, you're trying to hide from God. And then you're like, all right, you know what? All right, I realize, okay, maybe I need to get ashore, and you start rowing. All right, and all right, I have a small boat. I've been on the water. Even a small current is not easy to row against. Okay, these seas were so vicious. All right, there was no chance. All right, these men thought they could do it on their own, like we often do as well. All right, I can get myself back in this direction. I can get back to shore. All right, and then reset, and then maybe I'll get another cruise. All right, if there's one leaving port. All right, but it's just the seas grew harsher and more harsh. The more we try and do it on our own, the more we will fail. It's only verse 17 when it says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of fish for 3 days and three nights. It's only when a big fish, when we finally just throw ourselves into the sea and say, God, you're in control. All right, whatever you want, all right, I'm yours now. All right, and that big fish, all right, comes and swallows you up and gets you back on track. Luckily for me, I've had some big fish in my life that have helped out getting me back on track. When I first started teaching, there's a big fish I work with named Paul, who invited me to a Bible study, and it just changed my life. It got my focus, all right, back on God and off of myself and off of the selfishness and all that going on right there. I have a big fish named Kevin, who I work with, who's constantly just keep me on track. You know what I mean? Just we have lunch today or every day. We talk the scriptures. We read. All right, he is, you know, I mean, just a big fish that doesn't allow me, all right, to kind of, all right, jump outboard. He keeps me inside and says, all right, we're going back in the direction you should be in. Me being up here is a Jonah moment. All right, I thought I saw Sue in here earlier. All right. I told Sue years and years ago I was going to come up here and start giving some messages. And that was before Jeff was even here. And the big, all right, persistent, all right, sometimes annoying fish named Jeff just kept on, all right, urging and nudging me. And finally I said, fine, I'll come up here and I'll give a message. There is a lot of big fish, all right, in this church, all right, if you're just willing to jump into the water, all right, and let them pick you up, all right, and bring you back in the direction. Okay, it says, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish. God will put that person, if you're willing to take that jump, if you're willing to get off the luxurious cruise ship, all right, that you're like, oh, you know what I mean, this ship is big enough, it'll make it through the storm, no big deal. If you're willing to say, you know what, it's not going to make it through the storm. The storm is, all right, this world we live in, the storm is vicious. All right, the only thing that's getting me through this is God. God will provide that fish to get you back to shore. So what do we have to do to get back on track to Nineveh? All right, it says start by getting off the boat that is going in the opposite direction. All right, acknowledge that you are not giving God what he really wants. All right, start by eliminating some distractions. If I'll use golf, I love golf. I don't golf as much as I'd like to, and that's probably a good thing. All right, but if golf is that distraction and you go out and you're golfing every day and all right, you're not praying every day, all right, is that what God wants you to be doing? Okay, TV, if you go home and the first thing you do is turn the TV on, all right, and first thing in the morning, first thing at night, and that just kind of fills just the, and I fall victim to it. You know what I mean? It's numbing, it's mind numbing. You don't have to think. It's, you know what I mean? It's easy. But it's a boat to Tarshish. It's not going in the direction God wants you to go. It may seem drastic, all right, like being thrown out of a boat, but I assure you drowning while swimming towards God is more rewarding than being on a cruise ship away from God. All right, those who chose to follow God in biblical times did not have it easy. All right, the Jesus followers are coming. Let's give them everything. Let's load up the food for them. Most of them died because of their belief. They died proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Jonah was unwilling to do this, so he tried to hide from God. He wasn't even happy at the end when the greatest revival ever, these Ninevites who didn't know him at all, these Assyrians, enemies of the Israelites, started proclaiming God's name, stopping what they were doing. If we jump ahead to Jonah 3, we see God restates his calling to Jonah. Jonah 3, verses 1 and 2. Then when the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." Maybe this is the second time. Maybe you had that calling. You said, I think I should be going in this direction. I should be serving. I should be whatever I should be doing. And you missed it the first time. Or you heard it the first time and you ignored it. I'm here, like Jonah had that second chance right there. I'm saying the second time, arise, go to Nineveh. Go where God is calling you to do. Follow that calling. Stop resisting. I know Dom's not here today, or not in the service at least. He always likes I don't know, I have a prop or something today. Today I stand up here to prop. Okay, I'm not up here. Oh, do you mean you can't do this? I've never done that. I'm Jonah. You know what I mean, I've fought. God's will. I fought God's calling. Too many times to know. That He doesn't want me going that direction. Tarshish might be a great place. They have lots of goods and things like that. But it's not the place where God wants me. He wants me going where I'm uncomfortable. He wants me going where maybe others are unwilling to go. He wants me following His calling, His daily callings, and His maybe a greater callings. God is calling you today. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the second, maybe you got sidetracked, but He is calling you. What is God calling you to do? He's calling you, certainly to pray and read the scriptures and to love others. He's calling each and every one of us to do that. But maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's missions. Maybe it's starting a Bible study in your work. Or maybe starting Bible study in school. Maybe it's serving in the church. I know Jeff would love for more people to serve in the church. Okay, He's calling you to do something. It starts with reading the word and talking to God. And He will reveal whatever that calling is, or however it needs to be. It will just weigh on your heart. You'll know it. But He's calling you to do something. What is God calling you to do? What is your boat to Tarshish that is leading you away from that calling? For me, my calling to come up here, it was fear and insecurity. I'm too nervous. I don't want to go up there. I don't want to do this. Okay, I'm not good enough. I teach, which is different than preaching. I tell everybody, I can't do this. This is not, you know what? God says, you know what? People want to hear it. It might come out funny. It might, you might look funny up there. Who cares? You have something to say. You love my scriptures. You love me. Just tell people that. Could be laziness. Distractions of the world. Laziness gets me too often. That's a small trip to Tarshish, hopefully it breaks up quick enough so I can get off not too far from shore. Selfishness can be a ship to Tarshish. Jonah was selfish. He says, you know what? I don't think those people deserve to be saved. I'm not going to go there. Whatever it is, that's leading you away, jump off. Allow that big fish to come and save you. Put you back on the right direction. What will it take for you to take that leap of faith and give everything, all right, to God? Hopefully it won't take a shipwreck, all right, although a lot of times it does. Okay, hopefully you'll feel the water shaking. You'll wake up and be like, what the heck am I doing? I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. All right, I'm back on board. If that's not the case, okay, and you do have that shipwreck, all right, then, all right, start looking out for a big fish to come get you. Because if you, all right, commit yourself to God and commit yourself to that calling, all right, God will provide, all right, that fish. All right, God is ready to do great things through you if only you are willing to follow his call. My prayer today is for each and every one of us to follow that call. All right, not to have a Jonah moment or Jonah moments in your lives, okay, but just to follow God's call. All right, to be obedient, and as we sang about earlier, to be more like Jesus. Let's pray together.